All right. Well, it is certainly good to see all of you today. Thank you for making it out and getting to church, even on this cold day. Hopefully everybody's homes and places of residence are okay from the storms last night. Kind of got a little scary there for a moment. It's good to see you. Good to see everybody watching online. Thanks for joining in this morning at New Life Church, where we're all about making Jesus the very center of our life, our church, and our community. And I want to invite you to open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. It's going to be our text there. We're going to go there here in just a moment. Our theme for 2025, as we have been saying since the beginning of January, that seems like really far way back, but it's just the middle of February. But it's looking forward. Our theme is looking forward, based out of Philippians 3, where one thing that we focus on is not looking back, forgetting the past, but looking forward to what lies ahead, that upward call of God that is in Christ Jesus. And so you're going to hear us say that often this year because we want to live it. We want to be experiencing that, looking forward, not being caught looking back and always seeing the devastation of our past, the destruction of our past, the hurts from our past, the hang-ups from our past, the habits from our past, but looking forward to what God has in front of us with faith and with hope that He has a purpose and He has a plan for each one of our lives. And so our theme is looking forward. The title of today's message is called All In. All In. I want to read this text. It's Matthew 13, verse 44. Jesus is telling a parable, and he says this: the kingdom of heaven, and translations differ and say the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, is like a treasure. Everyone say a treasure. Come on, everybody with me, say a treasure. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again, and he sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your written word, your spoken word. We thank you, God, that you have a message for each one of us today. And so I pray, O Lord, that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to receive, and a life, O God, willing to allow you to shape us and make us into who you created us to be. We yield to you now. Open us up to be able to receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Everybody say amen. All right. Take a look at this video.
In 1519, during the Spanish conquest of Mexico, Hernan Cortes ordered his men to burn their ships. He did this to give his men a choice. Facing an empire, he forced a point of no return for himself and his men. Conquer or die. For Cortes, there was no going back. You've heard it a million times, in a million different ways. A line in the sand. Crossing the event horizon, point of no return, crossing the Rubicon, burn the ships. Burn the ships.
For 27 years, I've been privileged to be in full-time vocational ministry, and I just began embarking on my 28th year last week. I received God's call into ministry in the summer after I graduated high school 31 years ago. I entered that full-time call with naivety, with arrogance, with some humility, with a lot of passion, and very little knowledge of what was required of me. But I had a deep sense of hope, a deep sense of purpose, and I tried to live with an abandonment to whatever God wanted to do with my life for His glory. 20 years ago, Haley and I accepted the call to come here to this congregation in a little bit of a similar shape, but with just a tad more experience. And in just 3 years from now, we will be married 30 years. Yeah, that's exciting. Yeah. 30 years of full-time ministry together. And this congregation will be 50 years long. Yeah. Just 11 years ago, church, you recall, we made a bold move to sell everything that we could, to replant, to rebrand, to rebuild, to get healthy on different places, financially, spiritually, directionally, organizationally. And by God's grace, we've been able, as a church, I believe, to come alive again. Looking back in reflection, there's a thought that sticks out to me about these last 27 years of life and ministry, and that is having the mindset of being willing to go all in with God. Put it all on the table. You know, I've never, personally, I've never once felt disappointed or been left disappointed from the Lord, wanting to retreat or return. Sure, thoughts have come into my mind, considerations have come into my mind, but by the goodness and grace of God, He's been able to help keep me moving forward. And that's all on Him. All on Him. You know, there's been a lot of time over the last 27 years that's been difficult and sacrificial to wanting to go all in with God. But God always seems a way to, finds a way to work everything out for our good and for His glory. Not unscathed by suffering or setbacks, but Him always making sure there's a way out and a way forward when you go all in with Him. Same for us as a church. We've made a lot of sacrifices together as a congregation. But God has always caused things to work out and move forward for His glory and our good. You know, going all in with God is the kingdom mindset that Jesus calls all of us to in this life. I think when you look at the Gospels and you look at the, you read the text and you see Christ in the Old Testament in the shadow, so to speak, and Christ in the New Testament completely revealed, you see without question there was no hesitation in His call and His invitation to us to and to people to accept Him and to go all in with what He has for our lives. That is the life. That is the kingdom mindset that Jesus calls us all to live. Today, I'm starting a new sermon series based on our core values as a church. We have six of them. We're going to look at one of them today, the core value of being and living kingdom-minded. And we define it this way. We value the ways of God's kingdom over the ways of the world in our life. That His ways and His thoughts are higher and better than ours. With the title, All In. In this parable in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, Jesus is illustrating to us the mindset, the kingdom mindset of going all in with Him. There's this treasure hidden in this field that this person discovers. And he finds the treasure. And in his excitement, he hides it again. Then he goes and he sells everything he owns to get enough money to be able to buy the whole field. Because to own the field is to have the treasure. He was willing to go all in by giving all that he had in order to gain the treasure that was there. This treasure is the kingdom of God. It's something Jesus talks about often. In Matthew 6 on his Sermon on the Mount, he tells us, hey, don't store treasures on earth, but rather store them in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy. Tells us, hey, where your treasure is, that is where your heart will be also. And above all things, make sure you seek the kingdom of God first, above everything, making it the center of your life. Go all in with the field of the kingdom, he says. Go all in to the field of the kingdom, and don't stop discovering the treasures that are waiting to be discovered, because there's always more. You can't get the treasure without going all the way in. Suppose this area where you all are seated is a field, and I'm out here looking, wandering, looking for treasure, seeking something of value, and I'm digging around, and I'm wondering, is there something here? And so I flip this over, and I'm like, what is this? What is this? Some treasure. Some treasure. And I'm like, I wonder if there's more in this field that I don't own, but yet I want. Everybody's going to be like, what? Is there more in the seeds? And excuse me, but if I look some more, I see I kept it close to me. If I, because I knew what I was going to do. I knew Adam back there, he would like, you know, I see it. I'm going to take it. You know, no, I'm kidding, Adam. And I'm like, man, is there more? Did somebody take it out of my envelope? Is there more? No, sorry. It's right here. Treasure worth seeking. There's more. Treasure. But I stop myself and I'm like, wait, I can't keep the treasure because I don't own the field. He who has the rights to the field has the rights to keep the treasure. So in my excitement, there's a lot of treasure here, more than I have in my pocket. So therefore, I need to do something. I want the treasure, so I hide it somewhere where no one else will look. And I go and sell everything I have so that I can have the field and own it and have the rights to the treasure and the treasures that exist in that field. Because to own the field is to have the treasure. There's a couple of people in the Old Testament that bought in to the call of going all in with God. I want to talk about, there's a lot of them that exist, but I just want to talk about two for a few minutes today. There's a man by the name of Elisha. Before him was Elijah. You can read about this in 1 Kings 19, where Elisha and his story gets started. But before that, there's Elijah, the prophet of God, to Israel. And God was using Elijah in some pretty profound ways. And he had gotten to a place where God used him in a pretty big way. And to the point where God used Elijah to basically annihilate 450 prophets of Baal, whom Queen Jezebel was supporting and worshiping, and King Ahab, people who were the leaders of Israel, God's people, but they were not living for the Lord. They were not worshiping God with their lives. And he has this showdown on this mountain called Mount Carmel. And through long story short, he humiliates them and makes them look foolish, and then they're dead. Then after that, they're dead. And he's probably feeling pretty good, like, wow, God's amazing. He just did some like really miraculous things here. But then the word gets back to Queen Jezebel, and she sends a message to Elijah and says, by this time tomorrow, I'm going to kill you. Well, it freaked Elijah out to the point where he's like, I'm done. I'm running away. I'm going to go into hiding. And he goes and gets isolated in the wilderness, and he's telling the Lord, Lord, just take me now. I'm done. I'm not any better than any other prophet. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. There's a long story short. God meets with him and gets him on a journey, 40-day journey, to go to Mount Sinai, to climb that mountain of God. And when he's there, he's in a cave. And this is that story, part of the story where, you know, the wind is like a strong wind that comes by, is a strong earthquake and a massive fire that comes by. And in each of those instances, it was Elijah saw God was not in any of those things. And then it just got quiet. And God spoke to Elijah. And it was in that still, small, quiet voice that God got his attention. And he told Elijah, you need to go back the way you came. And there's three people you need to make sure you anoint. A new king, Hazael, who will be the king over Aram. You need to anoint Jehu, who will be the king over Israel. And then you need to anoint a young man by the name of Elisha, who will be your replacement. And Elisha comes into play. Now, Elisha was just living the dream. He was just living the dream. He was working. He had inherited his family fortune of farming. And he had 12 teams of oxen that he would use to plow the field. He had a lot of money. He had a lot of stuff. He was just living the dream, minding his business, living life, making a living, doing the stuff. And Elijah walks up and finds him, and it says that he threw his cloak, his mantle, his cloak that represented his prophetic office, on the shoulders of Elisha. Well, they knew who Elijah was, and Elisha knew what that meant. This is something from the divine. He said, there's something else going on here. There's a divine invitation to something different, a holy calling to something other than family, farming, and making a fortune. God wanted Elisha for something bigger than what Elisha could do for himself. Bigger than all the money he can make by farming. Bigger than what his dreams that he had for his life. His plans that he thought in the direction that he wanted to go. But God steps in and interrupts him with a divine call, a divine interruption, and gets Elisha's attention. And he knew, this is serious. And he told Elijah, he goes, I need a little bit of time because I need to go and let my family know what's happening. And I need to tell them that I'm leaving and I'm not going to be coming back. And Elijah told him, he said, listen, he cautioned him about what was happening. And he said, you need to think about this. You need to think about it. When you go back to tell them bye, you need to really think about what God is calling you to do right now. That he's not playing games with your life, Elijah, Elisha. No, this is serious. God's calling you to go all in with him. That you need to really take into consideration what this is requiring of you. That you go this way, there is no turning back. In other words, don't take too much time and talk yourself out of what you know God is asking and requiring of you to do. And many times we consider the mandate God puts on us, the call on our life to sacrifice. And we think, yeah, the sacrifices we make are big, absolutely, and they matter to the Lord. And we consider, do I really want to? Do I really want to give this up? Do I really want to have these boundaries in my life? Do I really want to have to tell other people no so I can tell God yes? Do I really want to make my flesh kind of cringe at times when I have to forgive people who do me wrong? And Elijah said, listen, you need to pay attention to what you're about to do. Don't, as we would say, dilly-dally, whatever dilly-dally means in our southern world, dilly-dally. I don't know. but you get what I'm saying. He didn't say that. Wouldn't have used those words. But it's like, listen, don't be wasting time. I get it. You need to bid them farewell. But what does Elisha do? He doesn't just go up to the house and say, guys, listen, change your plans. I can't keep farming and running the business, so it's back in your hands to do. This was his inheritance. This was all on him. So what does he do? Well, it says that he goes and takes his 12 team of oxen and kills them, slaughters them, and prepares to a barbecue with them by then taking his plow and busting it into pieces and creating a community get-together. Makes this massive barbecue with his 12 team of oxen. And then what's he do? Sell raffle tickets to see who can get the fortune? No, he says, I'm just going to give it away. And he feeds the whole town. His whole plan A, that was it. He said, this is it. I don't have anything else. And he feeds everybody and he's like, see ya. And he turns and he goes and follows Elijah to become his assistant. And the story goes on that he did twice as many miracles as Elijah did. There was no plan B. There was no retreating. There was no returning. Like in the video, the history books, the ships are burned. Making a statement. We aren't going back. Embrace where you are and dig in for the ride of your life of going all in with God. There was nothing left for Elisha. He eradicated, he annihilated, he sacrificed everything. There was no plan B for him. This was it, going all in with God. What about you? What about me? What about us? Would God call us to such a radical sacrifice? To give up the things that maybe we depend on the most, we rely on the most, or things in our life that we just sort of put up with. And we think, well, that's just the way life is going to be for me. I'm going to have to keep putting up with my hang-ups or my habits or the hurts I live with that fester in my heart. I'm never going to get any better. I'm never going to get any stronger. I'm always going to be this, and I'm always going to be that. And that's just kind of the DNA that I kind of came from. Or do we really believe in Christ Jesus, he breaks all curses? Do we believe in Christ Jesus that he destroys strongholds? Do we believe in Christ Jesus that no name can be greater than his name? His name is greater than all. And it holds all authority and all power and all truth in our life. But we won't fully taste it and experience it if we don't fully go all in with him. There's another guy that happened before him by the name of Gideon. It's in the book of Judges. Gideon, here he was. The story goes that the Israelites, again, they were in a terrible shape. They had done evil in the sight of the Lord, not worshiping God. And God had handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. Now, the Midians were some cruel jokers. They were mean. They basically had reduced all of Israel's food to nothing to the point of starvation. And the Israelites were like, well, we're hungry. So God, can you do something? I know we hadn't been worshiping you, but can you feed us? Can you do something? Well, God heard their cries, and he sent a prophet to remind them. Listen, I've done great things for you. I rescued you and delivered you from Egypt. brought you across the Red Sea. Don't you remember coming across that Red Sea on dry ground? Don't you remember that pillar of fire at night and that cloud by day, that manna that I caused to just fall right at your footsteps? And that quail that just seemed to fly and then boom, drop right in front of you to feed you. And I didn't even let your feet get blisters from walking all those miles, all those years. And that prophet reminded them of what God had done and that he was their true God. And God sends an angel to come and find Gideon. And Gideon is threshing wheat in a wine press. Wheat in a wine press. Something's not right. He's doing it because he's afraid. And he's keeping the grain that he's got safe from the Midians finding it, because that was their only source of food. He was afraid. Well, they're not going to look for grain in a wine press. And that's where he was. And the angel comes to him and calls out to him, and he says to Gideon, "Hey, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Now go save Israel." He's like, "What?" They have this back and forth a little bit. And Gideon is like, "Hey, wait a second. How can I go and rescue my people? Because one, I come from the weakest clan in the entire tribe. And two, I am the least in my entire family. I think you've got the wrong guy. You don't want me. You don't want me. I'm afraid. I'm little. I come from the weakest group of sorriest people. Couldn't lick a fly. Come on, are you serious? This is a joke." I'm ad-libbing, of course. "Really? You are wanting me?" And so Gideon's like, "Well, let me holler at you for a second. Can you show me a sign? Is this really God? Right? Just show me a sign. Is this really the Lord?" Well, God comes to him. The angel shows him a sign. He's convinced. And later that night, here's the first order of business God asked him to do. "Gideon, I'm asking you to go and destroy the altar of Baal." You know, no big deal. It's only the idol of worship that everybody's focused on. You know, it's just kind of their livelihood, the center of their attention. No big deal, right? Go and destroy the altar of Baal and tear it down, and then build a new altar to the Lord. First order of business, Gideon, is get the people's worship back to God. Before anything else can happen, they got to make sure they keep putting me back in the center of their life. And that's where it all starts. It's putting Jesus center. We say Jesus, putting God center in our life. Oftentimes, we are trying to put other things kind of real close and keep it, you know, kind of all intact. And Jesus is just kind of dancing around it. But he's like, "No, there's no room for center but God. Put the worship of God, the Lord God, the true God, back into the center of people." And so Gideon goes out at night. Well, again, because he's afraid, obviously. And he does it. He destroys the altar of Baal and builds a new altar to the Lord. Well, the next morning, the people are like, "What's this about?" They find out who did it, and they're like, "Well, we're going to kill the dude now. You done destroyed our altar of idol worship. It's over for you, Gideon." And the Lord obviously didn't let that happen, because that was just the beginning of things for Gideon, and that gave Gideon some fuel for the fire. He's like, "All right. God's not going to let them kill me. Maybe something good can happen." Well, God's spirit came on Gideon, and he rallied the warriors of Israel together to go against the Midianites. But before he went out to follow through with anything, Gideon started to wonder and doubt again, "Is this really God? I mean, isn't that good enough just to tear the old altar down, build a new altar up. Isn't that all right? It's like, no, there's not. That's not quite enough. Worship is right, but now you got to go fight. Now you got to go stand your ground. Now you got to be at a place where you're not going to let the enemy infiltrate you again and play with your mind and mess with your family and get a hold of your heart and pull your worship and focus away from me. You're going to have to now stand your ground, Gideon. I get it. You weak, boy. I know it. But I'm not offended because you come from the weakest clan of the whole tribe, and you're the smallest and least in your family. That's why I am picking you to do what I've called you to do. God takes the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And he just enjoys doing that because it gives him the glory and it shows us that our God is big. Our God is amazing. And so through that, God shows him through two ordeals, shows him two signs. Yep, this is the Lord. Okay, Gideon's like, all right, now we're going somewhere. So he starts out with 32,000 warriors. Sounds pretty good. That sounds like a lot of people. And through a little test, 22,000 leave. 10,000. All right, well, 10, that's not too bad, I guess. I guess I can feel pretty decently confident with 10,000. Through another test, there's just 300 remaining. You see, God didn't tell him there's just going to be 300. He led him to believe, why you do that, that there's going to be 32,000. Oh, yeah, I can get in on that, right? Oh, well, it's just 10,000. Okay, what? Now it's just 300. Well, it's too late to back off now because God's done proved to Gideon the request that Gideon asked, and God showed him twice that this was God, and God was with him, God was for them, and God was all behind the plan of all of this. Now, Gideon knew, man, I can't leave now. I want to leave now. I want to run away now. Lord, you had me thinking you had 32,000 with me running on this thing. And then you said, nope, it's just 10. And then you're like, psych, it's just going to be 300, Gideon. It's like, now what? Well, I guess we're just going to do what you said. I don't know what else I'm going to do. I can't keep hiding out in a wine press threshing wheat all the rest of my life because sooner or later they're going to come find me. And then what? They're going to kill me. So what do? I'm going to keep going with whatever you have. So God crafted a really good plan, as he often does, if we'll just let his plan. You see that his thoughts are higher than ours, his ways. See, we try to sort out life. We try to figure it all out. Come on, if any analyzing brains in the church today, we try to 10-year that plan out, right, Todd? My 5-year vision board. Whatever it is. And we have these ideas. A lot of times God does, obviously, spark ideas and creativity and thoughts to get us moving in a certain direction. But all behind it and all in it, his ways are better. His thoughts are higher. And so they crafted this plan. God did and talked to Gideon and shared with what he needed to do with him and the 300 warriors. They go out and they win. They defeat the Midianites. Their freedom came as a result of Gideon being willing to go all in with God. I think oftentimes we're just one decision away from experiencing a whole new transformation in the Lord by just saying, I'm going all in. I don't know how it's all going to look. I don't know how it's all going to be played out. But I'm going to just do it, Lord. I'm going to yield to you. I've got my habits. I've got my hang-ups, I've got my hurts, I've got my issues, I've got my past, I've got my problems, I got people, and I got things going on all around me and inside of me, and sometimes I just don't know what to do. But I'm going to trust you, and I'm just going to keep going all in with you. And that's what Gideon did, and it changed the whole trajectory, the whole direction of Israel. Because it said, for the remainder of Gideon's life, which was 40 more years, there was peace in the land. Elisha went all in with God. He left all the things he was familiar with. And he knew God was tapping him on the shoulder, saying, come on, follow me, follow me. Remember those early disciples? Jesus saw them doing their thing, doing their life, trying to fish, trying to make a living, trying to pay their taxes, just trying to get by. And he's like, hey, follow me, follow me, follow me. Elisha, follow me. He did twice as many miracles as Elijah. Elijah was recorded at 8. Elisha recorded at 16. You can read all about their miracles starting from 1 Kings 19 on up with Elisha. Because he went all in. Gideon went all in. Scared. Come on. Afraid. Worried with a capital W. Like, this frightens me. The unknown frightens me. I don't know. Frightens me. I don't feel like I have it in me. Frightens me. Will I meet anybody that I'll like? Frightens me. Will there be a place for me? That frightens me. Will anybody appreciate my contribution? That frightens me. What will my family do? Frightens me. What will people think of me? That frightens me. Well, if I make such a bold decision, God, and commitment, I'm going to lose some friends. Frightens me. Gideon went all in, restored worship back to God's people. Of all the people, God used Gideon. And peace in the land for the rest of his life. You see, living a kingdom-minded life, it's about valuing the ways of God and his kingdom over the ways of the world. And how do we know what his ways are about? It's his word getting planted in our life. You will not know God's will and his ways without reading his word. It will not happen. It cannot happen. The fastest way for our minds to change, the fastest way for our beliefs to shift, the fastest way for the transformation of our life and to step into all God has for us is the process of God's word being cultivated in our life. Welcome to kingdom-minded. It builds and it builds and it builds and it builds and it shapes and it shapes and it changes and it changes us. Day after day, after year, you start to see the evidence of the liveliness and the richness of God's word becoming more than just print in a book, and it becomes written in our hearts. and it changes the way we think. It changes the way we see. It changes what we do with what we feel and how we interact with other people and how we approach different situations. God's Word changes our mind. It's getting to know what God thinks. It's getting to become familiar with God's ways, because His thoughts and His ways are so much higher and so much better than ours. God has a view of you and your life and my life right now, that if we could begin to just see it His way, man, it makes us want to let go of everything else and truly go all in with Him. Matthew 13:44. Jesus tells this parable. The kingdom of God is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. And in his excitement, he hid it again. And he sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. Because to get the field, come on, somebody, is to get the treasure. To get the field is to get the treasure. Going all in to own the field leads to more discovered treasures in the kingdom of God. A man discovers treasure, and in his excitement, hides it again, sells everything he owns, and buys the field. To get the field is to get the treasure. And to go all in with God means there is more to discover. There is more to discover. And so you own the field, you can get more treasure. How about that? I own the field. I get to keep the treasure. Who wants the treasure? Go buy the field. How do you buy the field? You go all in. You go all in. You go all in. Right? You go all in. You go all in. And it's nice. And I'm not talking about money when I say treasure. He's talking about the richness of the kingdom. I know you're in college, you probably need some money. I know you're in college and you probably need some money. This is my money. This ain't the church's money, by the way. I'm not just giving away the church's money. Time to time, though, it sure helps to be reminded that God sees you. Right? God sees you. I don't want to give away all my money, but I want to give it to you. Use it wisely, okay? Use it wisely. The Lord may ask you to give it to somebody. I don't know. You're like, oh, I hope not. The more in we are, the more God reveals to us. He entrusts us with more. So, are we willing to go all in? Are we willing to go all into the kingdom? Why? Where are we hesitant today? Where are we hesitant today? What keeps us from just going all in with what God has for me? You know, I think back to how naive I was, and I'm 49. I still have some naivety about me. I don't know that that'll ever go away. I'm looking for some gray-haired folks to tell me, does it ever leave? But man, I sure remember what it was like to just like, I don't have a clue how you're going to do any of this, God, with me, but I'm just going to say yes. Going to say yes. Come on, who? It's like in your heart, you're like, oh man, I know I can go more. I know I can go deeper. I know I can go further in what God has. I don't want to keep living on the outside looking in. I wonder what it's like to be up on the inside of that. You don't have to have it all together either. And you don't have to have it all figured out. In fact, that's the opposite. That is what qualifies you and me to go all in with God, to not have it all together and not have it all figured out. Let the one who created the heavens and the earth and created us in his image, he's the one who knows the beginning from the end. He's Alpha and Omega, first and last. He knows all there is to it. In fact, he's the author and the finisher of our faith. And he calls us, let go of all the weight and the baggage and the stuff that holds you down and just begin to run the race that I've called you to run. Quit worrying about everybody else and what they got going on and just live abandoned to me. Worry about yourself and me. Let me take care of you. We'll never have it all together. We'll never have it all figured out. Oh, but man, it sure feels nice to be in the safety of the one who carries me and holds me and helps me. No retreating, no returning, just looking forward to what lies ahead. That's what Paul wrote. Philippians 3:13. He says, dear brothers and dear sisters, I haven't achieved it all. I haven't arrived. But I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. God's got a future for every single one of us. You're not too old and you're not too young. God's got a future. It's not dependent upon what we have the qualities for. It's dependent on the firmness of our yes, of going all in with God. Will you stand to your feet? If you're able, please stand. We have an invitation today from the Lord to start flipping over chairs, figuratively, going all in with God and discovering there's so much more that he has for us. To get the treasure, you got to get the field. To get the field, you got to go all in. Let me pray with us. Oh Lord, we're here before you today. I believe you are inviting us, extending a call to our life that's unique to who you created us to be. You have a future for us. And so today, whatever it might be in our life that has prevented us from truly, fully going all in with you, maybe unrepentant of sin, maybe unwilling to just let you into our struggles, Maybe it's our fears. Maybe it's things that happened to us in our past. Maybe we just don't think we deserve to. Whatever it is, oh God, that is happening in our life that has prevented us from going all in today, help us to say yes to you. Not having it all figured out, not having it all put together, but just saying yes and being willing to go all in with you. For it is the kingdom mindset of following Jesus. Free us, forgive us, and help us to do so. Oh, come to the altar.